This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillah, all praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal wa na'udhu billahi min hali ahli an-nar. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon all conditions, but there is one condition that we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from, and that is the condition of the people who shall be cast into hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us, and may He not make us from among those. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala afdalil khalqi ajma'in, nabiyyina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa imamina Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. We send complete blessings and salutations upon the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of his companions and every member of his household. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all those from that time who struggled and strove in such a way that they learnt the deen, they protected it, preserved it, they put it into practice, and they conveyed it so that today we are seated in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all of them and bless them. And may Allah bless us as well. Brothers and sisters, this evening we will be talking about Jannah, its paths and pleasures. Every one of us, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be entering Jannah. Every one of us will be entering Jannah. You have to have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will you enter Jannah? By the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is solely and only the rahmah, or the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will grant you and I entry into Jannah. And how do we attain the mercy of Allah? By trying our best. How do I attain the mercy of Allah? People say, you will not enter Jannah through your deeds, because you and I know, just now we read Salatul Maghrib. What was the concentration level? You know it. Was it 100%? No, it wasn't. It was below 100. So if Allah wants, He is pure, He might decide to throw it away. He says, look, this deed is not good enough. But because we tried and we were sincere, His mercy will accept the deed. Not because we deserved it, but because His mercy allowed that to go through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. We read the Quran, we engage in dhikr, we do good deeds for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes a little bit of contamination happens, in the sense that a slight bit of show off comes to the heart. Or sometimes while you are doing a deed, another thought comes in your mind that is worldly perhaps. It's the mercy of Allah. I will get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by trying. I need to try my best. Because Allah knows I'm a human being. He knows I'm going to falter. He knows I will sin. He did not say, when you sin, that's it, your door to Jannah is closed. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive the association of partnership with Him. Besides that, He will forgive whatever else He would like to forgive. Up to Him. But that, He promises, that I won't forgive. The association of partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from all forms of shirk, major and minor. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those whom, when people warn us of the different types of shirk, etc., we listen carefully. We listen attentively, because that is the primary sin that Iblis promised Allah that people would engage in. And Allah says, well, if they engage in that sin, then their chances to go into Jannah are closed. But there is hope. What is the hope? For as long as you are breathing, even if you've engaged in shirk, you can still turn back and seek the forgiveness of Allah. This verse, the Mufassireen and Ulama and Fuqaha explain that it has got to do with when someone has died and not repented from sin. Still, the mercy of Allah may decide to forgive all the person's sins, but not the shirk. So if you asked for forgiveness from shirk before you passed away, then definitely you will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Evidence of it is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum themselves. They became known as the best to tread the earth after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Starting from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu, and going down, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, were they not mushrikeen, the bulk of them? Were they not from among those who worshipped stones and idols and so many different things? They were. But Allah forgave them and made them the best of creation after the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, from amongst those who walked on earth. Subhanallah. So it goes to show that when a person accepts the deen, when a person accepts Islam, he has hope. That hope, inshallah, is what will take him to Jannah. The hadith says, it's a hadith Qudsi, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking. He says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Wallahi, that is a powerful narration. He says, I will treat every one of my worshippers according to how he or she perceives me. If you think Allah's going to punish you, that's it. There's no hope for you. Perhaps that might happen because you are insulting Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, give the message. Why does Allah say qul all the time? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the messenger. He had to come with the message. What was the message? Well, here is it. Allah is saying, go and tell them. Part of the message was, tell them, O my worshippers who have transgressed against themselves, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah, no matter what you have done. For indeed Allah will forgive all your sins. He is most forgiving, most merciful. When Allah says, never lose hope in my mercy, and you start losing hope in His mercy, thinking, that's it for me, I won't go to Jannah, perhaps I'm going to be cast into hellfire, you are insulting the one who told you, don't lose hope in my mercy. So we need to change the perspective here. Yes, we are warned about Jahannam, we are warned about hellfire, but did you know that the verses of hope are far more? Did you know that the ahadith of hope are far more? Because man needs hope. Hope prods you along, mashallah. You also need a warning time and again. But the warnings are such that every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His punishment, immediately He says something about His mercy. He speaks about Jannah. When you hear verses of Jahannam and hellfire, immediately after that, Allah says, or before that, He says, as for those who believe and do good deeds, we've prepared for them Jannatul Firdaus. Do you not believe? The answer is yes. Do you not try your best to do good deeds? The answer is yes. Well then, good news to you, subhanallah. Good news to you. You are trying. Allah knows you are trying. And Allah knows you are weak. This is why Allah says, and this is another powerful verse, we're talking of the paths to get to Jannah. That's where this all fits in. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. Those who commit immorality, speaking about fornication, adultery, another form of immorality, immoral behavior, immoral speech, all sorts of other things. Those who commit immorality, but they are believers within. What happens to them? Those who commit immorality or they have transgressed against themselves, they quickly remember Allah. They regret. What did I do? What did I just do now? I should not have done it. It was a waste of time, a waste of effort, a waste of energy, a waste of money. And more than everything, it was the displeasure of Allah. Why did I do this? When you commit a sin of immorality or you've oppressed yourself in some way, why does Allah say oppress yourself? Well, because when you sin, you don't harm Allah, you actually harm yourself. When you commit a sin, Allah doesn't Nothing deducted from Allah's domain and kingdom. Not at all. His dominion is there. Nothing is deducted. You have deducted yourself from the mercy of Allah. So Allah says you oppressed yourself. This is why Allah says that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over and above that, if someone who has oppressed himself or committed an immoral act immediately remembers and regrets and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who say that who will forgive me besides Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua. Oh Allah, we have no Rabb besides you to forgive us. So forgive us. Who besides you is going to forgive? La Rabbana lana siwaka fayud'a. We don't have a Rabb besides you that we can call out to. So oh Allah, we have no other alternative but to hope in your mercy. You are the only one you will forgive us. We have no other alternative. We will keep crying until you forgive us. But the good news is, not once did Allah say, I will reject the tawbah of a person who returns to me. Not once. Have you ever heard a verse where Allah says, those who seek forgiveness and do good deeds, we will not accept their forgiveness. Have you ever heard that in a hadith, even a fabricated one? Have you ever heard it? Never. It's the mercy of Allah. You repent, Allah will grant you from His mercy. Remember this. Yes, the conditions are there. You need to be sincere. Condition number one, you admit your sin. Don't say, you know, I committed adultery, but hey, you know, it's not me to blame here. Hey, Shaitan was hardcore, you know. Shaitan tried his best. No. Admit, Ya Allah, I was wrong. Don't admit it to another human being. They're probably in a ship that is sinking below yours. May Allah forgive us. We don't. We admit to Allah. You confess to Allah alone. That's the path of Jannah. He's your Rabb. He's the owner of Jannah. He's the one who will give you that paradise. Subhanallah. Yes, we will come to the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. But remember something. We please Allah, we get the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We worship Allah the way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, we get the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing. It's amazing. So we do believe in that intercession, and it will come. The intercession happens where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will pick out people from his ummah who deserved the fire and bring them through towards Jannah by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's there. But to achieve it, there is a way. You know, when you are flying, I was flying just now, a few minutes ago I actually landed, to be honest with you. You can count just over an hour, I think. And subhanallah, when you fly a lot, you accumulate miles. When you accumulate miles and you arrive at a tier that is very high, perhaps a platinum tier, those of you who fly might know what I'm talking about. Then, when the plane is full, you're the first person they're looking for. To do what? To upgrade you. Can they just pick anyone from the blue, from another airline to say, come, we want to upgrade you on Emirates. But you're flying Qatar. For example, I'm just giving an example. Or a person who's never flown before, and then there are those who fly all the time and they pick someone who's never flown before. It's not fair. They will make sure they follow a certain system. Well, in South Africa, I think it's unless you know someone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. But at the same time, to be honest with you, on the day of judgment, you will deserve the intercession if you tried your best to emulate, to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You might have faltered. We all falter. I'm not encouraging you to falter, but I'm encouraging you to change your life without losing hope in the mercy of Allah after you have faltered. And the reason is there is too much of, too many people are feeling so despondent. Too much of despondency, where people are saying, you know what, hey, life is tough, and they keep on sinning. Stop it. Stop it for the sake of Allah. And you know what? You might be dying any minute now. You don't know. You might have 2 weeks remaining. Subhanallah. We've heard so many stories of so many people, beautiful ones. Would you like that beautiful story for yourself as well? Well, turn now. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you want to deserve the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Try to follow his example. Try to understand what he was saying. Going back to the verse, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who engage in immorality and oppress themselves. They remember Allah, they seek forgiveness for their sin, and they know who is there to forgive us besides Allah. You know what Allah says? If those people do not continue in their bad ways and habits, we've prepared for them something. If they do not intentionally continue in their bad ways or habits, we've prepared for them something. So how do you not continue in your bad ways or habits? Those are the conditions of seeking tawbah. I spoke about the first one, you admit your sin. The second one, you regret it. Regret it, hey, that was bad, I should not have done it. That's regret. I'm feeling remorse, regret. The third thing, you ask Allah's forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Say it in English, in Arabic, whatever language you understand. Don't worry, Allah knows it. But say it out. You are asking Allah. Why? Because by doing that, you are worshipping Allah on a very high level. Because you are admitting He's the owner of forgiveness. He's my boss. That's what you're admitting. He's the one in charge of me. So I'm saying, oh Allah, forgive me. Which means, hey, I worship you. One hadith says, a man sins, he asks Allah forgiveness properly. Allah forgives him. Let me quickly mention the fourth condition. The fourth one is, you promise not to do it again. So I admitted it, I regretted it, I asked for forgiveness and I promise Allah I will not do it again. I promise Allah I won't do it again. I don't say, Ya Allah, I'm not going to do it again, but I don't know. You know, next week, if I see her again, it might happen, you know. You cannot do that. You must make a firm belief, I'm not going to do it again. That's it. It's gone and it's out. For the sake of Allah, you know you have to prepare for the day you leave. My brothers and sisters, ask those who are elderly. I've spoken to some. They regret over the basic sins they committed when they were young. Because now they realize there's no other path besides the return to Allah. I have to go. So we tell them, my brothers, my sisters, have hope in the mercy of Allah. Don't worry. Allah has wiped out your previous sins. Be convinced. Be convinced. Feel it in your heart. Allah's wiped out my sin. I'm not going back there. I'm going forward. Be convinced. Don't let shaitan make you dilly-dally with that conviction. Be convinced I'm going to Jannah by the will of Allah and by His mercy. And how do I know I deserve the mercy of Allah? Wallahi, I'm trying. I get up for Fajr before I never used to get up. I'm trying. Your life changed. I read a quarter juz a day. And you know what? It takes me long. You're telling yourself. You're not bragging on radio. And you're not firing it on Facebook. No. You don't need to tell everyone. You know, I don't know if you've seen the brother who was taking a selfie in sajda. He's gone to sajda and he's got a phone on the right side here, showing how pious he is. That doesn't work. Subhanallah. We don't want to brag, but I'm saying you're telling yourself, I'm trying. I'm really trying. What have I done to deserve Jannatul Firdaus? Subhanallah, I've tried. So Allah says, for those people, we've prepared something. You heard the four conditions? I want to say them once again because you must never forget these four. Admit your sin, regret it. Ask Allah's forgiveness and promise not to do it again. Now, if you have done it again, what happens? Well, if when I was seeking forgiveness, if I was genuine, I was forgiven. Not connected to that forgiveness is another sin that you may perpetrate, which is exactly the same. Identical sin happened a year later. But when I sought forgiveness 1 year earlier, I was genuine. Allah forgave me. It was wiped out. If I was not genuine, there's another story. But if I was genuine, the sin is forgiven. Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. The mercy of Allah. I committed it again. Allah forgives me a second time. Second time, if I sought forgiveness, Allah forgives me. Say somehow, somewhere down the line, you perpetrated it a third time. Allah is watching. Allah knows your heart. Allah knows you were genuine first time. You were genuine second time. You fell due to human nature third time. Do you know what the hadith says? Hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, عَلِمَ عَبْدِي أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ وَيَغْفِرُهُ أُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. My worshipper has now known and realized that he has a Rabb who can forgive him or punish him. So now I want you, O angels, to bear witness that I have forgiven him. That's the mercy of Allah. You still think you're not going to go to Jannah? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us there. Again, I reiterate, we will not enter Jannah through our deeds. We will enter Jannah through the mercy of Allah. And that doesn't mean don't do deeds. Because the mercy of Allah will only come when you try to do your best regarding deeds. I hope you are understanding what I'm saying. Because there will come someone, a young man, say, you know what, we were told in the masjid, you don't enter Jannah through your deeds. I'm no more doing deeds. No. You don't enter Jannah through your deeds, you enter through the mercy of Allah. But to get the mercy of Allah, you need deeds. What type of deeds? The trial. I tried as hard as I could. Subhanallah. So this is how it fits in. Now Allah says, those people who did not continue in that sin, knowingly. That's why Allah says, وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, which means they not intentionally. They sought forgiveness properly. If it happened again later on for some reason, unknowingly or another mistake happened, we spoke about that just now. But Allah says,
أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات. Those same people, for them, they deserve the forgiveness of Allah and paradise. Who are they? They are the ones who committed sin. They are the ones who were immoral. They are the ones who did bad, but quickly realized and did not repeat it thereafter. Asked Allah's forgiveness. Allah says, for them, we prepared forgiveness. The hadith says, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamalla dhambalah. The one who seeks forgiveness from Allah is equivalent to the one who has not committed a sin. You sought forgiveness from Allah, have hope. You are as equal as the one who has not committed sin. One who goes for Hajj, he comes back pure. One who goes for Umrah, he is forgiven. One who goes for Salatul Jum'ah, he is forgiven the minor sins between that Jum'ah and the previous one. This is why it's important to come early for Salatul Jum'ah. Sit nicely, because that's a blessed day. Come early, fill up the masjid before anything. And there's a competition that happens on a Friday where the angels are writing the deed, writing who's coming first, second, third, who entered the masjid first. Normally it's the elderly uncles. Have you noticed that? They come first, subhanallah. This week, same uncle. Next week, same uncle. Where are the young people gone? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me to begin with. At least come for the Jum'ah. Even if you didn't come first, second, third, but at least you came for the Jum'ah. The hadith says, إذا كان يوم الجمعة وقفت الملائكة على باب المسجد يكتبون الأول فالأول حتى إذا خرج الإمام طووا صحفهم يستمعون الذكر. On a day of Friday, the angels come writing who came first, who came second, who came third, who came fourth, until the imam comes out. When the imam comes and the khutbah starts, they close their books and they come and sit and listen to the khutbah. Who? The angels. So you better come here before the khutbah starts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He open our doors. You achieve the mercy of Allah. Allah says, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٍ. Those are the people who will get paradise. The ones who sought forgiveness, they will get paradise. And Allah did not just say jannat. He says, جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. I'm sure we've heard that so many times. Those gardens beneath which are rivers that are flowing, subhanallah, you will dwell therein forever and ever. Amazing. My brothers and sisters, I want to pause there for a moment and go to a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We speak about deeds, we speak about trying, but you remember one thing. You need to distinguish between sins committed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sins committed against fellow human beings. I'm sure you people have come across a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about a certain sahabi, and he told the rest of the companions, if you want to see a man from Jannah, here he is. Look at this man who's there. Subhanallah. So the sahaba radiallahu anhum were inquisitive. They wanted to know, what's the quality? Cutting the long story short, the quality was that this man, every night before he slept, he removed ill feeling from his heart for all his fellow believers, subhanallah. He removed the ill feeling, everything gone. He has no ill feeling in his heart. He cleans his heart. So because of that, he deserved Jannah. The hadith shows that that man did not participate in extra nafil ibadah, an extra more ibadah than his farad and that which was required of him. No, he did not participate in too much, but he had such a clean heart. So he never engaged in backbiting, slander, deception, cheating, conniving, stealing from someone, etc., etc. No, accusing and whatnot. He never did that. On top of that, he cleaned his own heart. Someone did something, he says, never mind. Someone else did something else, no problem. A third person did something. By the evening, the matter is sorted with us, with our own wives and husbands. 1 month passes, we haven't sorted anything out. You're still on the couch. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah make it easy. Same night, people who are not related to you, forgiven, gone. I don't need to hold it. I've got this heart here. I am in this world for a short period of time. I need to earn paradise. That is the place I'm going to go to. الدُّنْيَا دَارُ الْمَمَرُ وَالْآخِرَةُ دَارُ الْمَقَرُ فَخُذُوا مِنْ مَمَرِّكُمْ لِمَقَرِّكُمْ. The dunya is actually a place of passing. You are passing. Like when you are transiting from here to London and you stop in Dubai, for example, you don't start camping there, you are just transiting there. You don't start camping there, you are just transiting there. So what happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us quite clearly that subhanallah, you need to understand you are transiting here in this dunya. You are just transiting, that's what it is. You cannot start camping to the degree, and evidence of it is when you've earned a million, 10 million, 100 million. What do you take with you when you're going? You died, you pass away, you took nothing with you, your deeds come with you. Every time we are taught what you spent, you will get the name of. What you didn't spend, another person gets the name of. I hope without a fight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. It happens. You spent it, yes, that was yours. You left it, it went to someone else. So when you die, you leave behind everything. You don't need to amass too much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. If you have amassed, spend it in the right direction. Do the right things with it. So on the day of judgment, we will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having mercy on all those who deserve even a single droplet of mercy. Allah looks for any small deed to forgive you. I give you the example of the person who was compassionate to the dog. Allah forgave him. Do you know why? Because he realized that this is a creature. It's a dog. You know what's a dog? You know the rulings of dogs in Islam, right? They are a little bit more. In fact, there are many more rules and regulations governing our link and relationship with dogs. But a man who went down the well to bring water out of it in order to quench the thirst of a dog, when he saw the dog, the hadith in Bukhari says, the man said, لَقَدْ بَلَغَ هَذَا الْكَلْبُ مِنَ الْعَطَشِ مِثْلَ مَا كَانَ قَدْ بَلَغَ مِنِّي. He says, this dog is as thirsty as I was before I went into the well myself. And the dog won't be able to go in the well. Let me go in the well, take water, give the water to the dog. Allah says, as a result of the compassion for a creature of ours, we forgave him. He showed compassion towards a creature of Allah. He realized who made me, made the dog. It's a fact. No matter how bad you think an animal might be, it's not actually anything but the creature of Allah. The same Allah who made you made that animal as a test for you and many other tests. So this person was given Jannah because he cleaned his heart. He did not cause harm against others. So my brothers and sisters, if you want Jannah, you need to know when you've committed adultery, you've listened to music, you went to the gigs, you drank alcohol, you did what not, you know, you might have missed Salah and whatever else. There is a chance that Allah can just skip that in one split moment and forgive it. Totally. But when you have backbitten someone, slandered someone, falsely accused them, spread rumor about them, stolen their wealth, the whole ball game changes. It changes totally. You might ask why? Because the person you transgressed against is not Ghafurur Rahim. He's not most forgiving, most merciful. You committed a sin against Allah, he is Tawwab. He says, I will forgive any sin. You come to me, you don't have shirk, I might tell you, just go to Jannah. I don't want to know anything else. May Allah do that to us. But if you have a problem with your fellow human being, sort it out now. Now. Sort it out now. Many of us would say, no. This man, I'm going to wait until Qiyamah and I'll get my right. Fair enough, you've said that. I want to take you through that as well. You might be 100% right. So you say, I'm waiting for the day of judgment. My brother, the better thing for you to do is to say, I am 100% right, but I forgive this man. Subhanallah. Why? I can explain quickly why. Because we're talking of getting to Jannah. You're going to put a barrier between you and Jannah? Somehow. Let me explain how. So you arrive on the day of judgment and you're so excited because you see that guy, they say, rest, today there's justice. And Allah is the most just. So your case starts. And you know what? You win the case. And subhanallah, the man was told, listen, you are wrong. And you know what? This is what happened. And you need to pay back. So now, mashallah, you're so excited and you pay back. And what happens is, that case is over. There are another 5,000 cases pending for you because there was you led a whole life. There wasn't only one thing that happened. So you didn't forgive this man, you waited for the day of judgment. What happened is, you came on the day, justice was served, no harm, nothing happened besides justice. Now the other case Perhaps there will be justice and you were found to be wrong. You needed the mercy of Allah. So Allah says, hey, you know what? I'm not going to forgive you because you didn't forgive someone else. So you were wrong in another 2,000 cases. You won one case, two cases, five cases, 10 cases. The other 2,000, you lost them. Allah tells Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu in the Quran in Surah An-Nur, when someone accused his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha of adultery, of having an affair. Those are the words we use today. Those are dangerous words. Be careful of those words. They can actually block your entry into Jannah. Block it. Stop spreading rumor about people. Leave them alone. Talk about yourself. That's it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Shaitan knows the juiciest stuff is that which will result in us being blocked from Jannatul Firdaus. So he comes and makes us engage in it. We talk about the whole dunya, but we're not worried about our deeds. So, subhanallah, you find a man who spoke against Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu's daughter spreading rumor. More than that, her relationship was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, known as Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. We respect her, the purest of the pure, Aisha radiallahu anha. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I'm not going to spend on this woman, not at all. I'm not going to spend on this woman, on this man. His name was Mistah ibn Athatha radiallahu anhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals beautiful verses. You see, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was on another level. He was on a totally different level. Today, people ask you to support the cause. You know, people are suffering in Syria, in Aleppo, here, there. MashaAllah, you give 500 rands, you might give 50 rands, 100 rands, 1,000, 10,000. Listen to what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu did. Here comes the battle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you know, he's encouraging people from the mimbar to give. He's encouraging people from the mimbar to give. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu comes with a large number of camels. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he went home. He says, today I'm going to beat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He comes back half. Whatever he had, he took one, he left one. He took half of his wealth, he brought it to the masjid, he put it down. And you must remember, when people are collecting funds, yes, it is the sunnah to hide your donation, but there is an exception. The exception is when your donation is going to result in the encouragement of others to donate, then you show what you've given. For example, you've got a group of 10 friends. And you know if I give, they'll give. Because a richer man than you, for example, he says, hey, that man gave 1 million, now I'm going to give 10 million. You will have to battle yourself to make sure it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is permissibility for that to a certain extent. So here comes Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ asks him, what have you brought? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I've brought half my wealth. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Half, 50%. Imagine, 50% with us. The excuse we'll have is, hey, my money is tied. I would give it, but it's tied. You know, it's this investment, that building, this. Sell them up, man. Allahu Akbar. They'll be tied even after you die. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu comes. He comes. Remember, Allah never asks you for quantity. He asks you for quality. Sometimes the proportion that a man has given is greater than the proportion of another who's given greater numbers. A man came and gave 10,000. That was a fraction of a percentage of his wealth. Another man came and gave 50 rands. And guess what? That was all he had for the day. Finished. 100% this man gave, that man gave note point note something. In the eyes of Allah, this one is greater than that one. Did you ever know that? Because he's sacrificing. This one is greater than that one. The hadith speaks about it. A man came with half a measurement of dates on the same occasion. And some people, hypocrites, were laughing at him. Allah revealed verses that are read up to today, telling us, you don't you dare laugh at someone's donation, no matter how small it is. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu came, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, what have you brought? Now you know, people are hesitant to answer when you've done a big amount and you really, it's for the sake of Allah, you're hesitant. But this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I brought everything. All I have, everything. Here. This is all what I was worth. Gone. Allahu Akbar. Allah. So what have you left at home? Taraktu Allah wa Rasulah. I left Allah and His Messenger. This is Jannah. This is Jannatul Firdaus. This is the path of Jannah. You sacrifice for the sake of Allah from what Allah has blessed you with. Each person is blessed in a different way. Each person has been given a different blessing. Some have wealth, some have expertise, different field. Some have something else. Maybe you can't give so much wealth. Give your time, give whatever you can. Allah has blessed you in a way. You earn Jannah through what Allah has given you. That's the path that you shall go through by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man, what a great man. He says, I've left Allah and His Rasul. Don't worry, I'll work now. By the end of the day, I'll be able to get a plate of food for my family. Subhanallah. I don't want to say that in our case, even the wife will say, hey, you can't give that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let that happen. So this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Allah tells that man, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ A person who's been granted virtue by Allah. A person who's been granted rizq and sustenance and sa'ah, which means he is very, Allah has blessed him with quite a lot. Such a person must never make an oath that he's not going to spend in a certain cause. He's not going to give a certain person who may well be a muhajir and a relative and a poor person, and you don't want to spend. Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive and embrace. Forgive and embrace. You know why? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ Don't you want Allah to forgive you? For what? Exactly what I was talking about when I spoke about the other cases that were pending. Don't you want Allah to forgive you for other things? Immediately Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu compensated for his qasam because he had taken a qasam. And he broke that qasam and he started spending on that man and the relationship became as it was. Spending on him again. He was a relative. Subhanallah, with us, what do we do, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam? Allah has bestowed upon us favor upon favor. Your path of Jannah is in front of you. That which is farad, we cannot compromise it. You cannot say, oh Allah, you know I'm weak, I can't get up for Salatul Fajr, but don't worry, I'll give a lot of charity, sadaqah, extras. The extras do not compensate for that salah of yours. No, you need to fulfill that qada. Daynullahi ahakku bil qada. The hadith says that which you owe Allah is far more deserving of being fulfilled than anything else. That's what the hadith says. You owe Allah something, go owe Him, pay it to Him. Don't be lazy. But you have to strengthen yourself. I tell you, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've seen many communities, many societies, and I tell you, those I feel are closest to Allah sometimes are those in the most rural areas of Africa. I promise you. I've been to some places that I was shocked. I can literally feel the ruhaniya and the spirituality, the brotherhood, the love, and so on. Whereas we who've become materialistic, we're running after every dollar and rand that we can get. Subhanallah. We're running after it. I'm not saying it's wrong to earn. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be wealthy. You can be the wealthiest person, but don't let that wealth come at the expense of your connection with Allah. That's what it is. At the expense of your hereafter. What's the point of earning a million, but just with that million, I stole it from someone, and now I've lost my hereafter. There was no point. I'd rather live under a tree and get Jannatul Firdaus than to live in a palace and my Jannah is gone. Because that one is everlasting, this one is temporary. Subhanallah. So the point being raised, when you talk to one another, talk properly, speak with respect. When you speak behind another's back, if you are worried about Jannatul Firdaus, you will only say nice things. You don't say bad things. Why? I'm worried about my Jannah. I know one great scholar. One day they were sitting, he passed away, rahmatullahi alayh. They were sitting with some other people and they started talking about another scholar. And he said a few words and they said a few words and so on and so forth in the evening. The morning after Salatul Fajr, he was a foreign visitor. He asked those around him, take me to that Mawlana we were talking about last night. And so he visited this alim. And these ears have heard this. These ears have heard it. This Mawlana, as great as he was, And this is a sign that he was a true person worried. Worried about his Jannah. He came, he says, Maulana, in Urdu. He says, Maulana, last night we made ghiba of you. And I am worried about my akhirah. I have come here to ask you for forgiveness. Who would do that from amongst us? Go to the brother or the sister the following morning and seek forgiveness. And he says, I am worried about my akhirah. And wallahi, sometime later the Maulana passed away. He was worried about his akhirah. Imagine. So he went to say, you know what? In the dunya, I rather sort it out. If I leave it for the hereafter, there's going to be some big problems. Like I said, you might be right also. You have every right to say that, you know what? I will leave it for the hereafter. But that was not the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't say, this one, I'm going to deal with him in the hereafter. He never said that. The Quran tells you, in fact, the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ is even clearer where it says that sort out your matters between your brothers now before a day will come. لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. Your wealth will not help you, your children will not help you. That will be the day. Except if your heart is pure and clean. Your heart is pure and clean. What does that mean? Number one, you worshipped Allah. You fulfilled your farad. Farad, nobody can come to you and say, you know what, it's okay, you have a bonus. No, no discount when it comes to farad. You have to do it. There's no option. I can't tell you. Anyone who tells you otherwise, they don't know what they're talking about. Because Islam is based on five pillars, not four, not three, not two. And those are the clearest. But beyond that, it would be better for you to behave with fellow human beings.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha.
O you who believe, do not destroy your charities by bragging about it and by harming people with your words after you're such a charitable person. Imagine someone gives you a gift and you end up paying for it for years on end because that wasn't a gift. They come and say, hey, I gave you this. You remember? I did this for you. Brother, take your gift and take double and triple. Today I was messaging someone and I said, you know, we need to take whatever that brother's given us and double it, triple it and go give it to him back as a gift. Subhanallah. We were just talking. The reason is, sometimes a person gives you something, it's actually not a gift, but they worded it as a gift. They want to clock mileage out of it. Brother, this is not some business where you need to go and engage like a salesman. You don't need to give that gift, or don't call it a gift. Say clearly, look brother, I'm giving you this, you're going to have to pay for it. I'd rather not take it. I don't want to be enslaved by anyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us independence and only dependence on Him and no one else. So Allah says, don't destroy your deeds. Why destroy your deeds? You did good deeds, but you broke them. You destroyed them. Similar verses in the same surah, Allah says, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. A good word and a charity is better. No, a good word and forgiveness, a good word and forgiving people is better than a charity that is followed by evil. So Allah says, say good words. You want Jannatul Firdaus? Think good about others. Husnul Dhan is something the Ummah has lost. Husnul Dhan means to think good. The Prophet ﷺ has taught us. The Quran has spoken about it. Subhanallah.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu jitanibu kathiran min adh-dhann.
O you who believe, be careful of the doubts, the suspicion, you're suspecting people. Be careful of that, because most of it is very sinful. It will come back to you. So be careful of this type of behavior. You will make your path to Jannah more easy. Subhanallah. Husnul Dhan means when someone has done something, you have a good thought, a good idea. You know, I was reading a book a few days ago and it says that you think of someone good so much so that if there's no excuse you can come up with, say that I think he will have an excuse. Subhanallah. Imagine, I think of you, you have an excuse. You know, a person walks out of a club, nightclub, and the first thing, hey, this guy's gone clubbing, man. Fair enough. If you're a real mu'min, you would say, you would first look for excuses. And if you don't want to look for excuses, approach the man directly. That's it. Brother, what were you doing in there? I don't want to have bad feelings. I don't want to have a bad thought. And he'll tell you, hey, you know what? I went there because whatever the reason is. Okay? Please don't go into clubs and say, you know what? I had a good intention. No. There's no need for us to be there. I'm giving you one example. It might not be the best of examples, but to find an excuse. And if you haven't found an excuse because every sign is there that something bad happened, you tell yourself, you know what? Perhaps he might know better why he went, and that's it. As a mu'min, you make dua for such a person. You can approach them and talk to them. Or if you want, if you really would like to help them, you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them and to guide you. You have a feeling for them. The problem with us no longer. We don't feel. We're waiting for the juicy gossip. Someone talks about that man. He says, I knew it. Right? What's my password? Facebook? Let's see. Put it. Show the picture of the man. Disgrace him. Allah disgraces you. Allah disgraces you. The hadith says, Man satara musliman, satarahu Allahu fi dunya wal akhirah. If you cover the crime of a mu'min, and I'm not talking of a crime against another human, for that, you have to help. I'm talking of a sin against Allah. Someone committed a sin against Allah. If you cover it, Allah says, I will cover that man in the dunya and the akhirah. But when you go around wanting to expose everyone's private sins, and you get joy out of it, Allah will expose you in this world and the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. I want to give you very good news. Very, very good news. The good news is, if you read Surah Ghafir, in there it says, the angels make dua for those on earth.
وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ.
Allahu Akbar. Allah says, the angels, they declare the praise of Allah and they seek forgiveness for those on earth. Who are those on earth? You and I. There are angels asking Allah all the time.
رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَاغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا.
Oh Allah, you have encompassed everything with your mercy. So forgive those who are seeking forgiveness. Oh Allah, those on earth, forgive those who are seeking forgiveness. Who is saying this? The angels. And they continue later on in that verse. Allah says, the angels continue. They say,
رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ.
Oh Allah, grant them the paradise that you've promised them. Give it to them. The angels are making dua for you. My brothers, my sisters. Aren't we so fortunate? Will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we get to Jannah finally, obviously I've just mentioned a few paths. A few ways of getting into Jannah. A few ways of preparing for Jannah. There are so many. There are plenty. We would need a few hours to discuss the basics. But this is only a tip of the iceberg. But we need to get into Jannah itself. One might say, okay, Jannah, 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 what's there? Let me tell you something that will clear your doubts by the will of Allah. Because the women ask all the time, if the men get the hur, what do we get? It's a question they ask. And then they say, but why is a man who's got more than one wife, or even if he didn't have more than one wife, how come he's going to get more than one in the hereafter? What about my feelings there? Wallahi, these are valid questions. We cannot run away from them. But there are answers for these questions that are satisfactory. Maybe we haven't heard them. I'm going to try. Okay, here goes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding Jannatul Firdaus,
فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.
In Jannah is whatever is delicious to the eye, it will belong to the person. If you made it into Jannah, anything your eye spots and you want it, it's yours. Imagine, amazing. Amazing. Whatever your eye wants, whatever is delicious to your eye, it's yours. The verse starts by saying, Tashtahihil anfus, whatever your nafs desires, whatever you want is yours, and whatever is delicious to your eye is yours. So I want to tell you something. Don't worry too much about understanding all of the details. Because yes, it's important to read. It's important to know. There are verses of the Quran that explain, yes. But you need to know, bottom line is, this brain that I have today will never be able to comprehend what Allah has prepared for us in Jannah. So I know for a fact, Allah will make me so happy, the happiest. There will be nothing that I want that I won't get. My beloved sister, did you hear that? So I don't need to worry. This husband, that husband, you know, I was reading a little bit before I came here. And I was reading about a person who's passed away and they've had more than one husband. Sorry, it's not reverse polygamy. It's actually when someone's passed away or a divorce has happened. In fact, more than a divorce, it's when someone's passed away. Because a divorce, there was a separation anyway. Say you had a husband, he passed away, you were a widow, and you married another man, and maybe there was, he must have passed away again, and you married a third one, and he must have passed away again. I hope they didn't start saying things about you, but anyway, and then you passed away yourself. Who are you going to be with? So there is difference of opinion. Some say the last person, some say depending, maybe they might be able to choose. I want to tell you that yes, those are the opinions, but Allah will make you happy, don't worry. That's one thing you need to know. Finished. Rely on that. Allah will make you happy. Allah will make you happy. I want to read for you a verse of Surah Al-Duha that we always read but we don't think about. Allah says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَىٰ. And indeed Allah will give you so much until you will be happy. That fa here refers to the limit, the extent. Allah will give you so much until you are satisfied. That is what Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But by extension, the comfort is for all of us. When you go to Jannah, Allah says, I will give you and give you and give you and give you until you're happy. What do you want? I give you. The last person to enter Jannah will be asked a question. And this is the last person after he served his sentence in the prison, meaning in Jahannam. And now he's coming through. And Allah says, would you be happy if I gave you what the whole dunya holds? He says, oh, more than happy. Allah says, you know what? And I'm cutting a long hadith short. Allah says, for you is whatever the dunya had, plus double, plus triple, plus quadruple, plus 10 times. What? All for me. 10 times what the whole dunya held. Just for me. And I'm the worst person ever. The last one to enter Jannah. My brothers and sisters, you know what? I'm either going to be the last one, or you, or can I tell you what? We're going to be better than that. So if you are the worst person, that's what you're going to get. Did you hear that? 10 times the dunya. You're the worst person. So we cannot be worse than the worst, right? Do you agree? You are either the worst or you're better than the worst. So you are getting, subhanallah, you have this belief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us into Jannatul Firdaus. My brothers, my sisters, that is the mercy of Allah. The hadith says, عَدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. I have prepared, it's a hadith Qudsi, I have prepared for my pious worshippers what no eye has ever seen. So my beloved sisters, don't worry. You've seen your husband? Go back to this hadith. I have prepared for my pious worshippers what no eye has ever seen. Which means when you see him, perhaps there, he will be something unique, subhanallah. You've been dreaming for, amazing. Something you didn't even imagine, beyond your imagination. Baffled, should I say, your mind is boggling. Subhanallah. What? My husband, ya Allah. In the dunya, I used to say, if my husband is there, I don't want him. Ya Allah, I'm changing my mind. I want him. That's what will happen, subhanallah. I want him. You could have had a few squabbles in the dunya. Allah speaks about that in the Quran. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. Allah says those in Jannah, we remove whatever ill feeling they may have had in their hearts. It's gone. There's a pure feeling. You will have a pure mind, a pure heart, a pure body, pure everything. Not what is impure here in this dunya. No way. So what I want to tell you before we close is, remember that whatever you are going to get in Jannah, it will be so pleasing. So shaitan comes to you now in this world with this little mind of ours, with a small understanding that we have, and he makes us start arguing about what you are going to get in Jannah. Forget about it. what you are going to get in Jannah, forget about that. You rather worry about getting into Jannah, because Allah promised you, once you get in, I promise you I won't let you down. Do you not trust Allah? There you are. Trust Allah. Allah says, when you get there, you're not going to be let down. Allah says, never mind, not let down. You want and you want and you'll want, we'll give you whatever you want. When you finish and you have what you want, we will then ask you, do you have what you want? You will say yes, and we will say, we have more for you.
لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ.
For them is whatever they want in Jannah, and we have for them something more, something extra. Some of the Mufassireen speak about that being the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine seeing Allah. What a gift. May Allah grant that to us. So my brothers and sisters, I hope we are charged up with a lot of hope, inshallah, so that we can concentrate in Salatul Isha. And you, when you say Allahu Akbar, you're thinking of Allah and His mercy. Because when you have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't need to worry about anything else. You have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you need to worry about? When you get up for Salatul Fajr, talk to Allah, especially the weaker ones. Sometimes you say, oh Allah, had it not been for you making this farad upon me, I wouldn't even have got up. I would have slept. But because you have put it on my shoulders, I'm getting up. And it's an honor to get up. For you, I'll do it. Subhanallah. You know, the young people, I give them examples of their lives. And I say, you know what? If you're someone you're not supposed to be in touch with, right? If they call you, and they happen to be boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever else, you're not supposed to be in touch with them. They call you at midnight. Hey, I'm in trouble. Come. What happens? For you, I'll do it. That's what you say. Haram, you ready to do it? What about Rabbul Alameen? Come on, Salatul Fajr. Imagine the same girl or boy or whoever else calls you at Salatul Fajr. You won't read the Fajr, but you'll go and help them. Help yourself by developing a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Common logic. So my brothers, sisters, let's charge ourselves up. Come on, no more missing a salah. We get to Jannah. No more dressing inappropriately. Wallahi, you will get to Jannah. Allah knows that it is a struggle in the world today to live as a Muslim. Allah knows it. So that's why Allah says, sacrifice a little bit. There will be persecutions. Why did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was afdalul khalq, akramul rusul, the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets, why did he have to go through persecution? He did not deserve it. But Allah made him go through many tests so that people like you and I, who are nothing, not even equivalent to the dust beneath his feet, we understand that we will also be persecuted. If he went through all of those tests and he is the most loved to Allah, surely I will go through a few tests. And when I go through tests, it's a sign of the love of Allah. Because he already showed us, when I loved someone more than you, I tested him far more than you. That was a sign of my love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. May Allah grant us the ability to love one another, to cleanse our hearts, to speak good about one another, to stop spreading rumor and gossip and backbiting and evil. When you talk behind someone's back, no matter who it is, an auntie, an uncle, a nephew, a niece, a person you know, you don't know, the rich, the poor, say good things behind their backs. That might result in you entering Jannah. Don't you know of some people who've passed away and the community bears witness, this auntie, she never spoke bad about anyone. This uncle, he always tried to help everyone. They went away with their goodness. What goodness do you have? What excuse have you given Allah to forgive you and to grant you Jannatul Firdaus? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannatul Firdaus. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors. May He grant us Jannah without Hisab Kitab. We will be too embarrassed if our books were to be taken out and everything was to be made bare. May Allah cover that for us. Remember, my brothers and sisters, Tawbah, seeking forgiveness, wipes out your sin to the degree that it's taken out of the book also. The malaika and the angels are made to forget it also. There is no trace of it, nothing at all. Remember that. So have hope in the mercy of Allah. Seek forgiveness constantly, every single day. Don't say, I didn't commit a sin today. No. Engage in tawbah every day. Ask Allah's forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. In that way, one day you are going to die. If you had a habit of saying, oh Allah, forgive me every day, the angels would have written, this man died at 3 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, but he got up at 4, for example, and he said, oh Allah, forgive me 100 times. That was your last day on earth. What do you think is going to happen between you and Allah now? What do you think is going to happen? This is why the hadith says, خَيْرُ الْعَمَلِ مَا دِيمَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ قَلْ. The best of deeds are those which are done regularly, even if they are minute and small. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.